All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NFL podcast for Wednesday, September 21st. I'm Doug Norrie, and for today's episode, you'll be hearing an interview or a conversation that Jay Soderberg, or you may know him as Pod Vader, and I do about our previous Week 2 matchup in the Blog Talk Radio Experts League. We look back a little bit about what happened with that matchup, and we also look ahead to Week 3. So here is that conversation.
And so I welcome in my latest victim in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. It is Doug Norrie from Team DFSR. Doug, what happened?
I mean, what happened is going to be a theme for me each week when I break down what happened with this team. I might have the worst team in the league. I'd be shocked if I didn't come the end of the season, even though we'll try hard. But what happened? There's too many things to say what happened. I mean, it started at the draft and it's continuing on through week two. So this team is looking very, very rough right now.
Well, you definitely have an injury problem. I mean, Russell Wilson has looked bad the last 2 weeks, and I don't know if we can blame that all on his ankle. But you also have Adrian Peterson and Thomas Rawls, both who went down with some sort of leg injuries. That's not good. Brent Celek posting a big fat zero for you. That's obviously not going to help anybody.
Well, it's funny. Like, it's about as bad as you could expect your two running backs to be on a given week, even factoring in for injury. Like, the fact that they both stepped onto the field and played any snaps and had a combined 2 fantasy points is, I mean, you really just can't get worse unless, like, the guys got hit by a bus before the game started, and I just didn't know. So it was just so brutal. I wasn't in love with either of these guys really to start the season, frankly, but it sort of became necessary evils. That being said, I wasn't so worried about them going into this matchup, and Rawls clearly is something. There's clearly an issue with him. Peterson has a torn meniscus, so he's likely out for a little while with no clear handcuff. So I'm a little bit worried there. The Celek thing, I had Zach Ertz, who was ruled out before the game started. So that was just sort of just picking someone up off the scrap heap and hoping for the best. And the worst happened. So it was just, I mean, just one of those weeks. I'm looking back at the score right here. You doubled me up, maybe, or
pretty close.
Me up. Yeah. Like, you just have a strong team. So I'm dealing with an injury thing. My problem is the injuries are not likely to get better as the season goes on. So I'm a little bit worried about my team right now. I would say I'm a heavy favorite to finish in last place here.
You know, it's funny though, because I'm looking at the overall scores week by week, and I do end up having one of the higher scoring teams currently. But honestly, the scores are all right there. I mean, let's see here. John Sally of Pro Football Weekly managed only one more point than you did this past week.
The race to the bottom. Yeah.
So I mean, I wouldn't be too concerned at the present time. But you are 0-2.
Yeah.
And the two highest scoring teams are myself and, of course, the Williams sisters over at Her Fantasy Football. And they are the highest scoring team, which, you know, some people have said that was going to be. But let's talk a little bit more about your team and what perhaps needs to happen for you moving forward. And I would say, again, it kind of has to start with your quarterback there and Russell Wilson. Yeah. I don't think anyone expected the performance out of Russell Wilson that we've seen in Weeks 1 and Week 2 right now.
Now, he's looked really bad, and the team as a whole has looked really bad. He's clearly hurt, and he's playing hurt. And the hardest thing, you know, with doing football projections, just like all of our podcasts in this league do, or just, you know, prognosticating about football, is you try to take injury news and you try to figure out what the truth is. So I tend to sometimes err on the side of, well, if he's playing, the team thinks he can play, right? Because, like, other short of that, like, you don't really have much other information. And so I tend to just trust it. The problem, he goes out there and he just looked awful. And that whole game was awful, really. I'm sorry, it really just wasn't a fun game to watch. I think the final score was like 9-3. But I just don't know what to do with him. So there's a chance. Like, so for instance, Matt Ryan is on the waiver wire right now. I'm staring at it. If you're in my shoes, do you just straight up bench Wilson now and play a guy? I mean, Matt Ryan has the Saints this week, which is a pretty choice matchup. Mm-hmm. You think I snap? I know we're in the same league and we're competing, so it doesn't necessarily pay to give advice out, but you're not nearly in the same situation I am with, like, your, you know, you have Roethlisberger, so it's not like you're sitting Roethlisberger really at this point. So, I mean, what do you think? Like, is the Wilson for Ryan swap in the cards here? Is that the way you think I should go?
I mean, I think I might until Russell and that team can show they can pull it off. I mean, you're talking about the Miami Dolphins, and yeah, that defense looks pretty good in week one for the Dolphins, but they're not that great.
Right.
We just saw Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, shred them to pieces before he got hurt. And then you're talking about the LA Rams of St. Louis, another team that, sure, they've got a decent defense, but do they have a defense good enough to shut them down to 3 points? I don't think so.
I mean, Blaine Gabbert looked okay against that team week one, and that's Blaine Gabbert and and Curley, you know? So, like,
yeah.
So if those two guys can sort of look okay-ish and Wilson comes out and looks like a total stain. I mean, one problem for him too, and it has to do with the injury, is he's not really running as much. And then he has a receiving core. Baldwin, this wasn't news before the game, but it comes out Baldwin's hurt. You know, Rawls gets hurt, so they lose the pieces of the running game. They're just kind of a team they're just running so bad with injuries right now. And it might not even just be a Wilson problem. It might just be a full Seattle Seahawks problem, right? They just don't have the horses to keep up with him. While we were talking, I picked up Ryan, just so you...
I think the Matt Ryan swap is definitely something looking at. I mean, yeah, you'd hate to miss out on Wilson going off on the 49ers, but at this point, I don't think you can trust it. Week four, they're at the Jets. You're not going to play. I don't think you'd want to play Russell Wilson across the country against the Jets, who do have a legitimate defense. And then you have the bye week. And so I think after that bye week is when you bring Russell Wilson back. Now, the only problem for you, well, no, I don't know if Atlanta has the bye on week five too, but Russell Wilson will face Atlanta in week six that bye.
The league is so shallow. There's, you know, I think there's only 10 teams
it's a 10 team league.
So there's always just quarterback. I'm not so worried about just having a streaming quarterback issue. So I'm actually just fine with this move. That's why it's good to talk to other people about this stuff, so you can you can workshop some of these ideas just with someone else. And like I said, I'm 0-2, you're 2-0. I don't suspect we're competing when it really comes down to it. But yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, this is what makes season long so very difficult, is evaluating those. I mean, like, you know, we talked about, I come more from the daily space, so it's a little easier. You don't have to really fade these. You don't have to project out like Russell Wilson week four. Like, I'm not really ever worrying about that in my day-to-day, comings and goings. But yeah, in the season long, it makes it extra tricky.
Now, you mentioned sort of the daily game, which is what more of your expertise comes in on. We have a couple of super fans that do sort of a daily fantasy advice show on Fridays. Last week, they were very high on the Giants. I imagine a lot of daily players were, sort of looking back at the Giants-Saints game from last year, and of course, looking at what the Saints did in week one. I think a lot of people thought, oh, this is going to be a great game to play all your Giants. It didn't turn out to be quite that way. Is this sort of a similar idea here with Matt Ryan? Is this one of the trends you're seeing already in the daily game? Like, hey, play your guys against the Saints?
Yeah, for sure. And I was among the crowd that played Eli and Beckham and even Rashad Jennings last week in not insignificant amount of contests on FanDuel and DraftKings. And, well, actually more on FanDuel, but it's funny about sports because, and you probably see this a lot too, is your eyes can fool you, and also stat lines can fool you at the end of the day, and it can make you think that something happened that didn't. So if you looked at that Giants game and you think, oh man, you know what, the Saints defense looked okay there, and maybe they kind of got it done against the Giants passing game. They didn't allow him in the end zone. But if you kind of watch the game, you know, Beckham dropped a wide open touchdown. He had beat a guy on a go route and just dropped it at the 5 yard line. And, you know, they run bad a little bit in the end zone. They had three fumbles on drives. And if you add all that stuff up, I take a lot of that stuff as just bad luck. And to me, 100%, the Saints are just still not a good defense. I think you see people loading up on the Falcons again this week. The Saints just aren't, that's carried over from last year. They just still don't have a secondary, and they still just can't really defend the pass to any point that really worries you. In fact, it really goes the other way. They're still well below average against the pass.
Now, last week I talked to Joel Hennard of the Fantasy Insiders about the evolution of the running back position in the NFL, talking about in week one, there were only two running backs that made it over the 100-yard mark, which isn't even that great of a stat when you look at the number of attempts it might take to get over the 100-yard mark. This week, there are quite a few more. I'm really happy with the guy that I ended up picking a little bit later than everybody else. And I mentioned it during our draft podcast. Matt Forte was going to be the forgotten running back. And obviously, I came out very happy with his performance this week, scoring 28 fantasy points on ESPN.com standard scoring. Is Matt Forte a guy that we should be watching here a little bit more closely, especially for daily games?
Definitely, because, right, so you said the evolution of the running back. So I'm sure what his point was. Well, what was his point? Just that it's changed.
Just that it's starting to look a lot more like, you know, running back by committee is becoming the thing in the NFL.
It is, except for, so this is one thing we actually looked about. We looked into pretty hard for this week, because one thing we're only trying to figure out, and we're all, this is what we're all trying to do in this space, right? It's just identify trends and what is the truth behind sort of how teams are using players. And most teams are going that route where you just simply cannot trust the overall touches for a running back in a given game, except for really four guys. And it's D'Angelo Williams, it's Lamar Miller, it's Matt Forte, and it's LeGarrette Blount. And Blount, and two of them are about to change because D'Angelo Williams is going to get burned when Bell comes back. So that's going to be the end of his usage. And Blount, I suspect, gets dusted when Brady comes back as they just switch more to a passing game, because right now he's kind of in there just to place hold as part of their offense. And so you're left with guys, like the two guys are Miller and Forte. It wouldn't shock me for you. Forte was a guy our system loved going into this week against the Bills. And when I saw that you had him, I kind of knew I was in trouble, because he's just such a high volume running back. And those just don't really exist anymore. And the Jets, they've just shown their hand. They said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to hand them the ball. And if we're not handing the ball, we're just going to pass them the ball too. And so you are in phenomenal shape. I think this is actually, when you're looking at the end of the season, he's probably, and if you are in the playoffs, which, you know, your team is pretty strong, especially with a couple of other slots that you have. You have another guy that's trending in the right way that I'm looking at that we can probably get to when we talk wide receivers. But Forte is going to be the guy, because no one else is going to be able to replicate. I mean, assuming he doesn't get hurt or anything like that, but no one else is going to be able to replicate that kind of volume. His volume is insane. And you just don't see it from teams, because most teams don't want to run their guy into the ground.
All right. Now you have me, you have my attention when you mentioned receivers trending in the right direction, because I mean, Dez Bryant scored a zero week one, only scored 10 here in week two. Brandon Cooks did quite all right for me in week one, but had a fairly quiet week two. So which wide receiver do you have your eyes on here?
Not Dez, because I know the point total overall wasn't great, but in general, it was pretty clear, I think at least, that so Dez is funny, right? Because he's kind of psychotic. So you never understand psychotic, like in a competitive way, but maybe right. In a real life way too. it's never clear about a team about what their plans are when it comes to guys like this, because they went into the first week and Witten got all the touches, but then Dez, I think pretty much came out and said, I'm not happy. And then all of a sudden he had 12 targets last game. And it was pretty clear that Dak was just kind of forcing him the ball at times, like especially in the first drive. So in the first drive, I was totally convinced of this, because the first drive for teams are usually scripted, like during the week, you know, this is what we're going to do when we go out in the first drive. And I think Dez had like three targets on that first drive, which means the talk on the team was, we need to just get him the ball so we don't kind of lose him mentally. And he's just like a tier one talent too. So those 12 targets for him, I think that's the number you continue to see as he and Dak get more comfortable and as they just realize they need to throw him. He's like, if you were able to just stay the course after that week one, which I'm sure were you really worried after like that week one with one catch, 8 yards?
No, I wasn't really worried. Yeah. It's Dez Bryant.
Right. But I think what you see is he just ends up still maintaining that 10 target per game kind of guy, which is what he is. And Dak's a pretty accurate passer. So I love Dez going forward. I think you pretty much have a tier one wide receiver and maybe like a tier number one overall running back.
Mm, I like hearing that. All right, so moving forward in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League, I will be facing Jay over at Razzball, battle of 2-0 teams. This one's got me slightly concerned here as I take a quick look here at his roster. Yeah, Philip Rivers has looked pretty strong here in the early going. David Johnson, obviously another one of those top tier running back guys. He's got a fairly solid wide receiving core in Amari Cooper, Randall Cobb, and Eric Decker playing him at the flex. So I do have some concerns going into this week.
Yeah, I'd be worried about it. I'd be worried about Rivers, especially. Shown that they're just gonna keep passing too. So even without Allen and Woodhead, so he's got a pretty strong team. I get so jealous when I look at these other teams. I'm like, man, these guys all did something right during the draft. What was I doing here?
You are facing Matt Chatham of Football by Football. He has a lot of hopes riding on Blake Bortles, hoping that he can rebound off of what was just a horrible game and one that I thought the Jaguars had a chance to pull off an upset, instead ended up doing nothing but junk. And that one, he also has two running backs that are questionable and doubtful in Doug Martin and Jonathan Stewart. So it's going to be the battle of the non-running back teams.
Yeah, he's going to have to make some moves before this week starts because he has Hopkins and Martin, but does not have either of their backups. So, I'm not going to like swoop in and get grab either of those guys because I just don't really operate that way. But like Whitaker and Sims. Whitaker especially probably has a chance to be pretty good if they're willing to give him the ball like 15 times. I'm not sure so much about Sims. That's not as good of a matchup. And really, actually, against Carolina versus Minnesota is not a fantastic matchup either. But even I looked on his team, Hopkins, Marvin Jones, Jordan Reed, Willie Snead, that's a pretty strong wide receiver core. I don't really like Bortles. I think you can probably do better than him, really, with a couple guys that are just on the waiver wire right now. But
he's got Aaron Rodgers on his bench.
Oh, there you go. I take that back. So never mind. Now I'm probably dusted. actually, I take it back. Unless he forgets to just change these running backs out. But the fact that he's swapping in and out Rodgers based on matchup doesn't make me think that's going to happen for him. So I'm a pretty big dog going into this matchup.
That's pretty gutsy too by Matt Chatham. Now I will say, I think Chatham mentioned last year that he had never really played fantasy football before last year. But to switch out Rodgers for Bortles based on the matchup, that was a gutsy move on his part. It paid off. He ended up winning last week.
Yeah. That actually strikes me as a move that is someone that's probably paying attention to. So that's one thing. It's so funny because that's something. I mean, how long have you been playing fantasy football? I'm assuming it's got to be decades, right? Back to the ESPN.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Right. So you never really had a way in the past. In the past, it would be where if you were playing fantasy football, you would kind of look at people's cheat sheets and see how they ranked players, and you would see how, you know, I have this guy ranked as my number one receiver and all the way down. But now you have so many projection outfits that will just give you the actual numbers that guys are projected for. And I don't know, it's just easier to make decisions in some ways than it used to be because you can just look at sort of, you know, this number versus this number. I have Bortles more just projected for just straight up more points than Aaron Rodgers. And it might make sense in this given week. So it's funny about how I think the daily game has actually pushed the evolution of the season long game too, because you just make better decisions along the margins that you might not have been doing before because you never would have benched Aaron Rodgers in the past, I don't think. But now you're considering it and maybe it's correct.
Yeah, that's a gutsy move. The one thing you got going for him is I know Matt, being a former Patriot, is also a Patriot homer. He's got the Texans D. He also has a lot of Patriots on his team. He's in a tough spot this week. But at the same time, I also know he's pretty dialed into the New England Patriots, so I have a pretty good idea he knows what their game plan is going to be this week.
Maybe he'll start Jacoby Brissett if that's who's going to be starting out. I wouldn't mind seeing that from him.
Maybe. Doug, where can people find you?
Yeah, dailyfantasysportsrankings.com. It's a mouthful, or you can just type in DFSR for short and head on over there. We hit up the daily game as much as we can, try to give advice there. So, yeah, that's where all of our thoughts on football can be found pretty much.
And can they reach you on Twitter?
Oh, yeah, @dailyfantasysr, the two initials at the end. So dailyfantasy and then SR. Yep, I was going to call it some catchy way to remember that, but I realized I didn't have one. So Daily Fantasy SR.
Awesome. Well, Doug, good luck to you for the rest of the season. I don't think you have the worst team in the league. I just think you've run into the injury bug early here, and you do have some digging to do, but I think you'll be fine in the long run.
Yeah, man, good luck. Good luck holding the trophy, because I feel like you're going to be one of the guys there at the end. But I football's a long season. Who knows with these things? But right now you're looking really good as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thanks, Doug. Talk to you soon.
Jay, thanks a lot.